I get to introduce the speaker tonight, who I've had the privilege of spending the last 7 years co-laboring with, and we've had a lot of good memories, a lot of great times. You know, church will never be the same without Josh and Samantha being here, and we're just so thankful for their service and the impact and imprint they've made in Grand Rapids and Grand Rapids Baptist Church. So it's my honor and privilege to invite Pastor Josh up here to the platform to preach the Word of God to us tonight. So would you join me in welcoming him to the platform?
Oh boy, this is going to be hard. So you guys don't cry, I won't cry, we'll all be good, right? Well, if you make it spiritual. All right. Okay. This was a lot harder than I was expecting it to be. I mean, I should have expected this, but first I want to say thank you to Pastor and Shonda and their family and for the 7 years. This is crazy, but 7 years today, on the mark, today is the very first Sunday. 7 years ago, I think that was 2013, the very first Sunday, January 6th. And you guys put up with a lot, I can tell you that right now. And I'm surprised you guys lasted for 7 years long. Some of you guys have planted other churches, and I don't blame you. I mean, I understand having to be around me for that time trying to get away, but I'm thankful for all of you. I saw some of the teens that I had the privilege of ministering to with my wife, and shout out to them and some of the families that have been a part of this church over the years and now at other places or planting with the church plants that we've been able to have the opportunity. And so I want to say thank you, seriously, from the bottom of my heart for the 7 years. And I was joking with somebody before that 7 years is the perfect number, and so that's why we planned it perfectly just for that. No, that's not at all. How God planned everything, and I'm excited to preach to you. But before I do that, because of just how things worked out in the calendar, we weren't able to tell the students of Arise Ministries of 7 years that we've had the opportunity to minister, my wife and I, because we didn't want to tell them before the rest of the church know, because trust me, if we told the teens, the rest of you guys would have found out really quickly. And so we won't have the privilege of being able to say this. So my wife actually wrote this on both of our behalves, and I would like to read this to the Arise students before I get started. Dear Arise students, when first presented with the position as youth leaders, it comes with a thought of we need to impact your lives. But to be completely honest, the opposite has been true. It is you who have impacted us. We are so grateful for the opportunity we have had to live life with you. From celebrating your wins, helping you navigate through life, watching you make decisions to follow Jesus, crying with you, praying with you, and for you, it has truly been the highlight of our years here. We've watched many of you grow up into phenomenal young adults, and for those just starting the teen years, we have a few last encouraging words for you. Number one, people will fail you, but show them the grace that you would want. When just beginning this journey of becoming an adult, it's so easy to rely on others to get you through things. And it's important to have those people, but they will fail. But there is one person who will never fail you, and that is Jesus Christ. Number two, be kind always, even when it's hard. A kind word or an action can go such a long way. You never know what goes on at home or how someone is treated behind closed doors. So be kind. Number three, and the most important, love God. As stated before, God will never leave you or fail you. He loves you so much. He created you, and he wants to hear from you. And to the Rise parents, we want to thank you for allowing us to love on your kids. Thank you for being patient with us and giving us so much grace. We know we've made a lot of mistakes, a whole lot of them, but the support that you have given us has been amazing. We will never forget the fun times we had together, from the afterglows, the camps, and retreats. And we can't wait to hear what God does with the Arise students in the future. All of you are unique and awesome in your own way. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. You will each forever hold a special place in our hearts. We love you. And so we say that to Arise students. We've had the privilege of being able to minister. Thank you for those that are still here today and for those in the past. I brought tears to my eyes because one of the students today handed us a letter and went through a lot of the memories that we've had the privilege of being able to be a part of. And so it's actually the title of my message tonight. So if you bear with me, turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Excuse me, not Ephesians, but Philippians. Try to stay on the right passage here. Philippians chapter 1. And as you see on the screen, the message tonight is called Remembrance. Philippians chapter 1. Before I read the text, I want to tell you about a guy who was sitting in a coffee break room once, and he boldly shouted out in this coffee break room, disrupted everybody, and he said, "You know, the reason I have such a wonderful memory for names is because I took that course from Sam Carnegie." I think he meant Andrew Carnegie. Reminds me of the time of that story where there's this couple, middle-aged couple, and they were enjoying a friendly conversation just around the table, and one of them asked the other one, "Hey, Fred, how was that memory clinic that you went to last month?" And Fred replied, "Outstanding. It was outstanding. They taught us all the latest psychological techniques, tricks, and visualizations. We can even figure out how to associate things, to memorize things. It was great. I haven't had a problem since." "Well, sounds like something I could use," said Fred's friend. "What was the name of that clinic?" Fred went blank. He thought and he thought and he thought, but he couldn't remember. Then a smile broke across his face. He looked over at his friend. He said, What do you call that flower? You know, the one with the long stem and the thorns on it?" He said, "You mean a rose?" He said, "Yeah, that's it." Then he turns to his wife. "Hey, Rose, what was the name of that memory clinic?" It turns out that Fred isn't the only one who struggles to remember things. How many of you guys have ever forgot something important? Oh, yeah. Well, it's actually okay, and it happens to all of us. According to a study done by Dr. Karen Bola, who is a Johns Hopkins researcher, these are the top five things that people most often forget. You ready? Number one, 83% said that they have a hard time remembering, they forget most often, names. How many of you guys have ever forgot somebody's name before? Yeah, like right after you meet them. One of the hardest things as a pastor is I have one name, and that's it, and I'm up here every Sunday, and you guys have lots of different names, and I'll be able, when we're first going to maybe meet somebody, they'll say their name, and I'll say, "Oh, man, I forgot what their name is," and I'll ask my wife, and then usually she gets it, but if not, then what the worst thing you do is you say, "Hey, how do you spell your name again?" And then they say, "Bob." And then they're like, "Yeah, B-O-B." And then you're like, "Wait, how do you spell that backwards?" Oh, never mind. No matter what, you forget names. And I think we've all done that before, is forgetting names. So that's 83% of people. That's the number one thing that people forget, according to this researcher who did a study on this. Number two, okay? So number one is the names. 83% of people said names. Two, 60% of people said they forget where something is located. Yeah? We have like literal devices, like tiles and all those types of things on our phone that actually will alert us. And I've seen people lose those things before, right? Now, how many of you guys have lost the thing that's supposed to help you to remember the thing? I've done that before. Yeah, it's crazy. So 60% of people where something is located. Number three, 57% of people said they forget telephone numbers, right? Now, we don't have to worry about it anymore because of the smartphone, right? So we don't have to worry. We can put that in there. Unless you forget their name, now you're in trouble, right? Because you can't remember the number. All right, number four, at 53% of people said they forget words. You ever done that before? You're about to say something, you're like, what's that word? I can't remember what it's called. Food. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it's called. And then number five, this is funny because this is just how it worked out, but 49% of people said they forget what was said. So you probably already forgot 1 through 4 because that's what's just accurate there. I laughed at this. I thought that was a pretty interesting statistic. But you know what? We all struggle to forget or to remember things at times. It's easy to forget. But I will tell you this. There is one thing that we all seem to remember the most, and that is the people who have impacted our lives. Those are the people who have impacted our lives in an incredible way. And our focus text tonight is about a group of believers in the city of Philippi that the Apostle Paul would never forget. So if you're already there, I want you to turn there. If you're not, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Let's read this. This is starting out the book of Philippians. We're skip two verses because they're introduction, but we get right into verse number 3. And here it goes. This is Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. What an incredible opening statement he gives to the church at Philippi. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for remembrance, for memories, for times that you give us. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to not just forget when the day resets or the year resets, and as we have entered into 2020, that we can carry with us the memories. We can carry us with us the things that you've done in our lives. Lord, we can remember who you are and what you've done for our families and for those that are around us and for this church, and Lord, and for my family. Lord, I'm thankful for the memories. I pray tonight that as for the very last time, as a pastor here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church, that I would proclaim your word with truth. Lord, with love, with grace. Lord, that you would allow me to say exactly how and with the right context of what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that you would direct my thoughts and my lips. And Lord, that this would be a time where we can reminisce and also be encouraged for the future. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Paul writes this group of believers that is in Philippi, and specifically, he was writing this while he was under house arrest in Rome. Now, Paul actually started the church at Philippi. If you do some church history studies, you'll find that he actually started the church at Philippi years early, and it was actually originally composed of converted Jews. That was the primary composition of that church. But over the years, it had added many Gentile believers since then. And so now, Paul spends his time in this letter instructing and encouraging this people that had poured his life into and who also poured their lives into him. And as I begin preparing this message for this last Sunday here for tonight, I couldn't think of a better passage to preach to you than this passage of Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Because the words that Paul spoke to the body at Philippi reflect my own heart and the heart of my family for you, the people of Grand Rapids Baptist Church. You see, in the 7 years, again, 7 years to today that our family has been here, we have had the incredible joy and privilege of getting to know some of the greatest people we have ever met. And I say that with all sincerity. And words will never be able to express the overwhelming amount of support and the prayers that we've received over the 7 years, and even in just the past couple of weeks since we've announced what God's been doing in our lives and how he's transitioning us away. You guys have had us over. You've given us letters and cards of encouragement and gifts, and I just can't express to all of you who have done that, and for those that have just been supportive every step of the way. You have no idea how much that means to us. And I will say this, that just like the Apostle Paul, I can truly say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And so tonight, I'd like, if it's okay with you, to spend some time celebrating the past memories with you, but also encouraging you with the incredible future that God has planned for Grand Rapids Baptist Church. So number one, to get started here this evening, I'm thankful, just like Paul was, for the memories. I'm thankful for the memories. Look at verse 3 through 7 again. The Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul says, I'm thankful for you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know, I've always loved the way that Paul lays out his letters. Paul was somebody who just didn't mince words. He got straight to the point, and I'm somebody that usually likes that. I'm just like, tell it to me straight, give me the facts, I want to move on. Paul was similar that way in his writing style. He literally takes two verses, that's it, verse 1 and verse 2, to just kind of do some introductions. He's like, bam, and he gets right into it. And he's like, hey, I just want you guys to know that I am thankful every time I remember you. He begins to bare his heart with a passionate display for those people at the church of Philippi who had poured into him and who he had poured his life into. He starts off with saying, I thank God for you. And as Paul writes from Rome, I can only imagine as he begins to pen each of these words, I can't even imagine the memories that began to flood his mind. Of all the people who had accepted Christ as a personal Savior, as Paul was at the church of Philippi, of all the times where he was with those people, and I'm sure he had laughed and maybe chuckle at some of the memories of the hilarious moments that happened at the church of Philippi. I'm sure there was those moments that brought a smile to his face. But I'm sure as he also penned those words, tears began to well up in his eyes and maybe even dropped on the parchment that he was writing the letter, the epistle to this church of Philippi. Because there were also times where he was with them in their pain and their suffering. I'm sure there was memories that he wished that he could erase from his mind, but he was still thankful that God had worked through them. And as I began to think through this season that Paul was in as he's writing from Rome to the church of Philippi, he just couldn't help but be thankful. He couldn't help but say, I'm thankful for the time, every time I think about you. I'm thankful for the memories. And as I prepared this message for tonight, it was also flooded with countless memories of our time here. I was reminded of the incredible things that God has done through the years at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. We've celebrated the wins, and we've also mourned the losses, and we've done it together. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've shouted for joy as we watched people receive Christ as their personal Savior, as people chose to follow Jesus Christ. We celebrated as people would be out of the church and people would even be planted other churches. It has been a journey in the making, there's no doubt about it. And so, as we kind of reminisce over the memories, I just want to bring up a couple of memories of the times that we have been together here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. And one such memories are the humorous memories, the funny memories. And there's no way that I could really talk about the time here without explaining the many times of laughter that we've experienced together. If you know anything about Pastor Cool, you know that he likes to have a good time. He likes to have fun, and he loves to enjoy life, and a good time we had. I can tell you that. I could spend literally the rest of tonight just recounting all of the hilarious memories and the moments that we have. Maybe it was from the time that Pastor and I were over at the old Breton Road Baptist Church building, and we're literally watching the wrecker go and destroy the old building. And we have a video of this, of us literally cheering, jumping up and down and screaming, going, woohoo, woohoo, we're finally rid of this place and we're on to new great adventures. Now, we loved that place because of the experience that we're in there, but man, that was an old, nasty building. And we were excited to watch it go down. We were a bunch of morons out there just jumping up and down video. And they're like, who's doing this? It's us. So we were doing that. And then it reminds me of the time we went to man camp, man. And we are all going around and the dumbest things ever. We're telling the lamest Chuck Norris jokes you'll ever hear. We're around the campfire, just a bunch of group of guys. And we are just, you know, it was just ridiculous. But we're slap happy because it's well past midnight. And we just... It was like someone else would feed on another guy, and pretty soon it was, well, you know, almost a 1 or 2 in the morning. And we just, so many crazy things like that. And I'll tell you this, even though it was 1 or 2 in the morning, we couldn't go to sleep anyways, because some of you guys that were at man camp remember this, but there was two guys who decided that it was going to be a great idea to have a snoring contest. And I won't name their names, Matt Sparks, Vince Allegheri, decided that it was a good idea, after all this joke telling, to go back and they're going to have a snoring contest. And I'll tell you what, they won, we lost. Everyone else couldn't sleep, but I will never forget how loud it was in that room. Like, literally, one of the guys, Jason Davis, they've moved it to Florida since then, but he literally picked up his entire, not just like his blankets, he picked up his entire bed and moved it out to another place and put it down because he couldn't stand. He wanted to get some sleep. I mean, it was so bad. I literally labeled it that night. I called it the snorkestra. I'm telling you, it was a snorkestra. And the problem is there was only one instrument being played. The chainsaw. That's what it was. It was so bad. I will never forget those memories. But you know what? It was a good time. It probably smelled in there. But we had a good time. Man, I'm telling you, I could go on and on and on and relay just all of the memories. But I think the best way to sum up kind of the relationship that Pastor and I have had over the years is to show you a video. And this video is actually one of the blooper videos that we put together for one of our next steps. And so why don't you guys roll that video? And there's nothing else for me to say except for watch this.
Up here in the loft, right above the foyer, and up here we have a space that's large enough to actually house a bookstore, and that's our dream. We'd like to see a bookstore filled with material for, okay, we're gonna start over. I'm standing up here in the foyer, right above, oh, I said foyer! Up here that we could utilize for people in their growth in Christ. For what is that called?
It's called the conference
room. Conference room. I couldn't remember the name of the conference room. But I'd like to have something where I can. I need to do this.
Oh yes.
I'm in my office, and this is such a great space. Why are you laughing? You just spit on your phone.
You said, we're in my office?
We're in my office, and why are you laughing? They're with me, Josh.
Because you
They're
just, with me. I know, but you just keep saying it's so funny. Your face is funny,
How is that
too.
Funny?
I
we're
don't
in
know.
My office.
It just is. We're in my office?
How is that even funny?
Okay. All right, redo.
We're in...
Oh, no, we're in trouble now.
Josh, you can't do that. I can't say that.
I'll never see the words "we're in our office" the same. Okay, all right.
I'm sitting out.
I don't know why it's so funny.
You can do this.
I don't know why it's so funny.
How many of you guys remember that? That video? A couple of you guys. But yeah, that was it, man. We had a good time. We put probably 1,000 takes on that one in my office video. In fact, still today, he'll say something. He'll be like, yeah, I was in my office, and we'll just bust up laughing because of that time. But I will tell you, there have been so many moments like that, so many memories where we've laughed together, and you guys have experienced those things. And you know, I'm thankful for every single one of them. And I'm reminded of the verse, actually. It's in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. I'll throw it up on the screen. But it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And you know what? Laughter truly is a medicine for our souls. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the times where we could laugh and we could enjoy those times. It's good for us. In fact, they did a study. This is insane. I heard about this the other day, that they put two people who had aught with each other. They were upset with each other. They put them in a room and they watched a show that was pretty funny, or in front of a comedian. And those people's relationship actually changed because they laughed together. Because laughter will actually heal and restore relationship. And the Bible says that. It's no surprise. The laughter really was a medicine to our soul. And there were times that we certainly needed it. Because along the journey over the past 7 years, there's also been some memories that still fill my heart with pain and sorrow. And those are the somber memories. You know, I can recall with vivid detail the times where my wife and I have journeyed with many of you in your season and your pain and your suffering, whether it was the anxiety of finding a new job because you lost your old one, or to the unsettling news of health challenges, of finding out that you had cancer, or the pain of losing a loved one way too early. We've wept with you, and we've prayed with you, and we've cried and spent time with you. You know, it's never easy to visit somebody in the hospital or attend a funeral, but even in those moments, I'm thankful for the promises that you guys claimed as believers, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, you trusted God with every step of the way. And to your credit, my wife and I have been awed challenged and inspired in our own faith by the many of you who have kept your eyes focused on Jesus when it was really easy not to. It was easy to complain, but you didn't. It was easy to lash out in bitterness, but you didn't. And even though we don't wish for trials and tests on anybody, we are thankful to have seen God work in incredible ways through the people of Grand Rapids Baptist Church. And I won't go into specifics tonight, but many of you in this room know what I'm talking about, because you've experienced a season of suffering. And even you journeyed with us in times where it was difficult. But I'm thankful for this, that we can boldly proclaim, just as Paul did in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful for even those somber memories, because you know what it does? It puts our focus on Christ. It allows us to grow. But you know, most important and what I'm most thankful for, not just the hilarious memories and not just the somber memories, but I'm most thankful for the eternal memories. I'm thankful for the memories that have an impact for all of eternity. And we have watched as God has moved this church forward over the past 7 years. We have watched as people have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. We have been watched as people have had marriages mended, as relationships restored. We've watched as people who have been saved from an eternity in hell by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've watched that over and over and over as people have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is destined to a place called hell to burn for their sins. And yet, Jesus Christ came and rescued them. We've watched the gospel take place here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. Those are the eternal memories. We've watched as many of you guys, many of you, have poured in the community of Grand Rapids and the surrounding areas. We've watched as you were the hands and the feet of Jesus. We've watched as you guys had a willingness to serve in ministries in various capacities. We've watched as you guys would come straight from a busy day at work, and you go in and you'd serve at neighborhood Bible time, and you'd pour into the lives of children because you wanted to see them saved. We watched you do that, even though it was a hard day, many of you teaching, many getting out of your comfort zone. We watched as you guys would stay late into the night working on a set for the Easter play or going to the 90 millionth Easter practice. We watched as you guys, I remember one time it was Ryan Fogle and I were here till 2 a.m. in the morning before a Saturday rehearsal because we had to set up lights because we didn't have lights yet, and so we had to put them together and they weren't working. And man, I've watched over and over and over the sacrifices that each one of you has made. You guys brought friends and family to hear the life-changing message of the gospel, and we've watched all of this and so much more. There's no doubt that God has used you, the people of Grand Rapids Baptist Church, to make an eternal impact on this city. And I want to say that I am so honored to have been to experience that with you. When I think of this place over the past 7 years, I think of what the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 118, verse 23, and that is this: this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I'm thankful for the memories, just as Paul was. But you know what? I'm not just thankful for the memories. I'm also excited for the future. I'm excited for the future. Look what Paul says in verse number 8 through 11. He says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, under the glory and praise of God." We're certainly thankful for what God has done. But as we get to verse 8, you can see that Paul begins to shift the spotlight off of the past, and he begins to shine it towards the future. He reminds them that although we must never forget what God has done, we must always remember what God will continue to do. And Paul challenges the church at Philippi. He says, "Listen, I want you to continue on in the mission that was given to you. The mission of being disciples and making disciples, of reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus." He encouraged them with the truth that God had even greater plans ahead of them. "And likewise, I say to you, Grand Rapids Baptist Church, God is not done here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. There's more to come. In fact, there'll be greater things in the future, because God is always the God that moves forward." And so we must be thankful, even though there are seasons of change, even though there are times where some of us transition in and transition out, let this be a reminder to you that God is always in the business of moving forward. He's always looking forward. And yes, it's important for us to look back in the past and to look at the memories what God has done. But can I just remind you, don't ever get caught in the trap of turning your focus off of what God will do for what God has done. Because God wants to do more. And he's called every one of us to the mission of making disciples. Remember, our focus belongs. Where does it belong? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look to Jesus. We always look to Jesus. In verse number 9 of our text, we actually find that Paul gives us the answer to keeping our eyes fixed on Christ so we can accomplish the mission. And so I want you to look at verse number 9 now of what Paul says. He says, you know what? If you want to keep your eyes forward, if you want to be excited for the future, here's what you need to do. Number one, you need to abound in love. Look with me at verses 9 and 10. And this I pray, this is Paul's prayer, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Paul's very first prayer for the church at Philippi was to abound in love. Listen, if you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, you will see the word love pop up all over the place. We say it constantly. We sing about the love. We experience God's love. And we're also called to show that love. Actually, to search, the word love is found over 540 times, different times in Scripture. In fact, the most famous verse of all in the Word of God mentions and is about love. John 3:16, for God so what? Loved. The greatest commandment that we've ever been given is what? To love God and love others. 1 John 4:8 even tells us that God himself is what? Love. It's love, love, love. It's no surprise then that Paul's primary prayer for the church at Philippi was for them to abound in this thing that we call love. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen a Disney movie. Probably not alive. If you haven't, especially with Disney Plus releasing. Some of you guys are binge watching all the way through the old man. I watched the very first Disney cartoon ever. It was Willie in the Steamboat or something like that. Something Steamboat Willie. I'm sorry, I messed it up. All right, why don't you come up here and preach, Rob? That'd be good. All right. So we watched this Disney show, and it was called Imagineering. It's one of the Disney Plus has it on there. It talks about all the history of Disney and kind of how, I'll tell you what, Walt Disney just had a vision for the future. I think some of that was just God showing some things to bring in some of the joys that we get to experience here on planet Earth. But an incredible documentary. But in Disney, they actually have a letter and some numbers that are all over the place in the movies. You may have seen this before, you may have not, but I guarantee you if you've seen any Disney, maybe Pixar movies or any animated movies, you will have seen these numbers whether you realize it or not. And that is the letter and numbers A113. It's everywhere. In fact, it's Andy's mom's license plate number in Toy Story. It's a door number in Monsters University. It's the courtroom number in Up. It's the car number in camera model number in Finding Nemo. It's on a rat's ear tag in Ratatouille. And it's the train number in Cars. That's just to name a few. There's many more. But what does it mean? What is A113? Well, actually, A113, now this will blow your mind, was a classroom number at the California Institute of the Arts. And it appears in a movie. If it appears in a movie, it means that a Cal Arts alumnus was involved with the animation, the production of that movie. It was like kind of a digital calling card or a cinematic fingerprint. It's a message to the public that says this, hey, a member of Cal Arts was here. You know, just like the graduates of Cal Arts, we as followers of Jesus also have been given something to be marked by. And it's really a calling card, if you will. And it's not A113, it's J1335. You say, well, what do you mean, J1335? John 13:35. Put it on the screen. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love," what? "One to another." You know what our calling card is? You know what the mark of a disciple, of a follower of Jesus Christ is? It's love. You see, the one thing, the very one thing that followers of Jesus should be known for is their love for one another and for others. And that's why Paul said, "Hey, I've got one thing for you to remember. I pray that you would abound in love. But I ask you, look around. Take a serious look. Can you honestly say that the majority of Christians and churches in America are defined by the love of Christ? Instead of love, I see Christians that are defined by their standards, by their denominations, by their music, by their Bible versions, and dare I even say, their political party. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that being a Republican is a requirement to get to heaven? Believe it or not, there will be Democrats in heaven. Got a little quiet in here, just saying. Listen, I'm not saying that we toss out our holiness. I'm not saying that none of those things necessarily matter. What I am saying is that none of those things should define us. The one thing, the very one thing that Jesus tells us we should be known for has been replaced. The one thing that when people look at our lives and they say, "Hey, you are a disciple, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, therefore you love," has been replaced by things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Because guess what? One day when we stand before God, you think God's going to say, "Well, great job. You had a lot of good standards. You were part of the Republican Party. And so I'm thankful. Well done, thy good and faithful Republican." Listen, this rubs a little close because sometimes we're here proclaiming and sometimes we attack other people because they're dead. We just toss aside truth. I'm all about truth. God's all about truth. But the one thing we should be known for, Paul says, is our love. So we must love. We must love. Maybe, just maybe, it's time we stop trying to attack people into following Jesus and start loving people into following Jesus. Maybe it's time that we do as Paul says, and we let our love abound more and more. Paul says, "Hey, I want you to love. Grand Rapids Baptist Church, let's love. Let's be a light, a community, a people, a church that loves God and loves others." But how do we do that, right? That's sometimes hard. How do you love the unlovable? I preached a message not long about that called The Heart of a Disciple, but the way that we do that is actually found in verse number 11. Why don't we look there? The Bible says, Paul speaks again to the church at Philippi, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Watch this. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? Jesus Christ. You know what he says? You need to abide in Christ. You need to rest in Christ. You want to love? Abide. Rest in Christ. The mark of a believer may be his love, but where that love comes from is what Paul reminds us in verse 11. It's not your own power. It's not your own might. But it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul was reminding the church of Philippi the same thing that he had told the church of Ephesus. The fruits of righteousness can only come from abiding in the righteous one. That's where it comes from. You want love, you want joy, you want peace, you want long-suffering, you want all the fruit of the Spirit, you abide in Christ. That's where it's found. You must abide in the one who is love if you want to love. And absolutely nothing outside of your relationship with Jesus will allow you to love. You can use fear to motivate you, it will fail. You can use outcome to motivate you, it will fail. You can use people to motivate you, it will fail. The only way to abound in love is by abiding in Jesus. Remember this, the only way to abound in love is to abide in Jesus. I trust that you will remember that. In fact, Jesus himself says this to the very first disciples that he called in chapter 15 of John 15, verse 4. He says this to his disciples, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Paul's saying, "Hey, listen up, church of Philippi, listen up, don't you see it? Don't you see it? It always comes back to Jesus. This is the gospel. This is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 13. I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Paul was simply pointing out to the believers of the Philippi that the only way that you could abound in love, the only way you could approve things that are excellent, and the only way that you can be filled with the fruits of righteousness is through abiding in Jesus. In other words, Paul was simply saying this: remember Jesus. When it's hard to love somebody, remember Jesus. When you've had a bad day at work and someone ticks you off for the millionth time, remember Jesus. When everything seems to be falling apart, remember Jesus. It always is Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It will always be Jesus. We have to remember, you will never, ever be able to accomplish the mission of Jesus Christ unless you constantly remember Jesus Christ. We must remember Jesus. I want to close with this. I have a book here, and this is a really special book to me, and it was just given to me a few nights ago. It's actually a book that was given by Mike and Tanya Hillis, and inside this, it's a book of memories, and actually has pictures of our time here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. And it's precious to Samantha and I because this is something that we'll always be able to remember and to look and to visualize. And I can't thank Mike and Tanya enough for being able to put this together. But you know why this is so significant to me and Samantha? It may not be as significant to you, but it's personal to me because it's a reminder of the memories. It's a memory book of all the wonderful things that have taken place over the 7 years. And then as I was flipping through the pages the other night, actually it was not long ago, I was flipping through the pages and I thought about another memory book. But this book of memories is the same thing just like Mike and Tanya gave me. But it's unique in that it contains the greatest story ever told. In fact, this memory book is incredibly special because the story is about one who has the power to transform every life of those who read it. In fact, this story is so incredibly special, and this book of memory is so special because it doesn't just tell us about the past. It also tells us how the story ends. And of course, I'm talking about the Bible. And from cover to cover, the pages of this book shout the same thing over and over and over again. Two words. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Paul left the church of Philippi with the words, the only way that you will abound in love is by abiding in Christ. And I say to you, the people of Grand Rapids Baptist Church, who I've had the privilege of knowing for 7 years, some of you even longer, the message is the same. No matter what is in the future, no matter where God leads us or takes us, the two words that I always want you to remember, that Paul asks us to remember, that Jesus himself tells us to remember, remember Jesus.